my recent hot take is the more that we're dipping into each other's specialties and having non-specialists do this, chances are the work is mediocre or possibly even poor. And if we're okay with that, then why can't AI do all of our jobs right now?
So welcome to One Night in Product, Hot Takes Edition. But what does that mean? Well, I don't know about you, but I've started to notice that podcasts just seem to be getting longer and longer and longer and longer. And I'll probably include mine in that category as well. So I wanted to try something just a little bit different. Get out there, speak to a diverse cast of characters from all over the world that had something on their mind and share whatever it was with you and with all the people around the world that maybe don't get a chance to listen to people like that very often and give them a chance to shine. So if you've got a hot take that you want to share with the world, do pop over to onenightinproduct.com/hot and you can set up a time for you and me to have a chat, and then we can get you and your hot take out to the world and we can just keep this wonderful world of product communicating, talking and sharing with each other. That's onenightinproduct.com/hot. But as for now, let's get started with my first hot take with Debbie Levitt. All right, so in front of me I see a selection of overlapping circles with colours and a waving person, a familiar face who's now kind of undulating from side to side. So, greetings. Oh, and look at this. There's confetti and everything. I can tell this is going to be a super personality-filled interview, but just for the record, oh, she's gone asleep. Who are you? Where are you based? What do you do? And what's your hot take?
Hey, everybody. I'm Debbie Levitt from Delta CX. I'm strategist and CX and UX person of many skills and talents. I'm an American based in Italy. So good morning, Jason. And my hot take, at least today, is I'm kind of seeing the slippery slope. We talk so much about who should do what work, who should do product strategy, who should work with stakeholders, who should wireframe, who should research and talk to customers. And there's so many fights about all this stuff. And so everybody ends up doing a little bit of each other's, what we feel like are each other's jobs. And my recent hot take is the more that we're dipping into each other's specialties and having non-specialists do this, chances are the work is mediocre or possibly even poor. We've all seen examples of the non-product manager doing not good product management work. And certainly I've seen the examples of people who are not from CX or UX doing crappy research, crappy wireframes and prototypes and so on. And we call this democratization because who would be against a democracy? So we're already being gaslit, but I call it dilution. But the real slippery slope here, because you have to ask yourself, what's the end game? Where does all of this stop? And to me, the end game is if the work we're doing is mediocre at best at times and sometimes quite poor, and if we're okay with that, because we don't have much in the way of standards, we don't have a lot of oversight or governance, we don't have accountability. I think accountability's gone well out the window. If we don't have anything forcing our work to be better and requiring that our outcomes be better and requiring us to have fewer failures, then why can't AI do all of our jobs right now? Because if our work is mediocre to poor, because of time constraints, because everybody's doing each other's jobs, why can't AI do it? Now, right now, the general cry has been, AI can't do my work well enough. Product manager says an AI can't strategize a product the way I can and do this and that. And the UX person says an AI can't research with humans the way I can. That requires all of these skills, big list of skills. And I say, yeah, but if we've already accepted poor work in these areas, and if AI is doing mediocre to poor work, AI could hypothetically take our jobs immediately and do the same mediocre to poor work. And someone will be just like, okay, it was kind of that bad before. What do you think, Jason?
I have numerous thoughts about AI, and I think it's a really fascinating topic. I think one of the things, and I was chatting to someone about this yesterday, actually, this idea that when you're making a mistake, like rewind slightly, one of my big questions is like, so far, like we've been seeing people like cranking out wireframes and cranking out PRDs and cranking out strategy documents and stuff like that. And I'm sure that they're all, to your point, fairly mediocre because, you know, most things that I see out of LLMs are you know, ultimately something that is kind of a starting point. It's like, it's where you get started and then you make it better. But there's not been, like, as far as I'm aware, like a critical error, as in something that crashes a plane or something like that. There's not been that kind of error coming out of an LLM yet, which means that we don't know what's going to happen when these things that we're trusting stuff to kind of actually make a really bad problem that is hard to get back from. Almost, you know, to some extent, like the Tesla self-driving cars and stuff like that, like crashing into things, running stop signs, all of that. And when humans make errors or mistakes, even though they do that all the time, and of course, all of the designers and the product managers and everyone else out there, they are making mistakes from time to time, or they're missing things, or they're putting out substandard work of their own, even if they are specialists, depending on the circumstances, those errors are always explainable. Like, you look at them and you go, okay, well, I understand why that person did that because I'm a person too. Whereas if it's an AI sort of LLM thing hallucinating and putting stuff out there and it causes some kind of dramatic problem, plane crash, company stock falls to zero, whatever, there's very little chance of explaining why it did that. So it's not so much even the fact that substandard work is easily replaceable, which obviously it is, but what you're replacing it with is something that's going to fail in ways that you don't understand why and maybe can't even control for, which means that you end up in this kind of death spiral. I don't know if that's a different issue.
Can I jump in on that one?
Yeah, for sure.
No, it's a great point. And what it made me think of is, I think because of at least some of the hesitancy and skepticism around LLMs and AI is that we still are doing a lot of checking. I even saw a couple of websites recently from AI tools where it said, this AI is going to do this for you in seconds, and then please have a human double check it. And so I think that we're, if you have an AI do something and then you have a human double check it, you've already implied that there are standards, there is quality. Yep. We do want to make sure we don't crash the plane. We do want to check for mistakes. And we want someone who can tell the difference between good and bad work to look at this. And so I think since we're still mostly in that place with AI and LLMs, we probably are keeping ourselves from making the more catastrophic mistakes, product, service, plane crashing, whatever it might be, because we're catching that AI a little earlier. I know that in the UX world, when some people have asked AI to design something, it's been completely not accessible. It would probably get them sued in various countries for not being able to be usable by people with various disabilities. Okay, you need a human to check that and bring and change it so that it's accessible. When some people are trying to use AI tools with their UX work, and the stuff that AI comes up with is garbage, a lot of people don't want to say that out loud. They don't want, other than Dr. Nick, a lot of people aren't going like, hey, I tried this AI tool and it was complete freaking garbage, and it made me spend more time on the project because I had to babysit it and correct it. And so that ultimately sounds cool on paper, but it wasn't a time saver. And so I think the main thing keeping us from crashing the plane right now is that we actually do have some of those checks in place. But I can certainly see a future in which people have a false confidence about AI and think, you know, because we just heard what's his face from OpenAI say that when ChatGPT-5 comes out, he believes it will take 100 million jobs.
Yeah, that's a lot of jobs.
That's just a few.
Because well, as long as they're all middle managers, though, right? As long as they're all middle managers.
That would be the joke, right? So the... Because I looked, then I Googled, how many tech workers are there on the planet? And the number I got was like roughly 50, 60 million. And so that number could be off. But it almost sounded like they were implying that ChatGPT-5 would absolutely, completely take the jobs of every single tech worker. And then some people... not necessarily who are tech workers. And so, you know, how do you prepare for this? How do you prepare for, we're old enough, you and I, to be prepared for, looks like I'm going to have to leave this job through my own choice or no choice. And okay, it's going to take me some weeks, months, whatever it is to get my next job. And I think we're all starting to see the situation in which the next job doesn't come in weeks and sometimes doesn't come in months. And then we have to start asking ourselves, if this is the dystopian movie we are absolutely running full speed towards, what will a lot of us be doing? Because many of us plan to live for a few more decades.
Well, hopefully, although obviously, you know, personally, it was my birthday the other day. I'm getting quite old now, so I start to wonder how long that's going to be. But I think the interesting question there, to your point, is like, well, what's that next job going to be? And like, you look at it and you go, well, okay, going back to that democratization point, like, I'm a terrible designer, genuinely. Like, I'm really bad. Like, just look at my website. You can see how bad a designer I am. I did it all myself. And you could argue, if we kind of take that human in a loop approach that we just mentioned, like a person checking the outputs, that AI powered tools that can generate 3/4 of the work for me, for example, that I can then go and caress and, you know, manipulate and put into a state that is actually human acceptable, that gives me that next job. Because unless we're literally saying that we're going to just push, go, automate everything, and there's going to be no humans anywhere, which obviously some people are saying, but like, that could give me other opportunities. Or, you know, live translation things could give me opportunities to work in other countries that speak languages that I don't speak, that do everything kind of universal translator style. So is there a kind of a rosier version of the future where you look at it and go, yeah, sure, my old job's gone because of reasons, but my new job is something that I could never have done before?
Yeah, and I think, what does that look like? I saw a post in my LinkedIn feed yesterday from a UX researcher who I like and respect, and I won't name, but at least someone I like for a change. And this person was having trouble finding a UX research job after being laid off, and appeared to have some knowledge or pre-existing training in AI and coding. So this person probably already had that. I'm not sure if I didn't check their LinkedIn deeply enough to know if they just got this or they kind of already came from a coding background. And they basically posted that since they couldn't find a UX job, they took a junior level AI job. And I was like, what does that look like? And I did go into that on their LinkedIn. And according to their LinkedIn, they have some sort of job where they are trying to teach AI certain models and behaviors and knowledge. And then they run this AI in various situations, and then they try to correct it. Again, I don't come from coding, so I don't have a good sense of what that looks like. So people who know about this stuff might go, she's describing it terribly. That's fine. I'm a musician. But then what he wrote was that many UX people he knows are waiting tables and substitute teaching.
Yep.
And that he basically said, we're all in survival mode right now because the jobs aren't there. And so I think that we can all try to become junior AI developers, or, you know, people thought prompt engineer was going to be the thing, but I don't think it's prompt engineer as much as being the engineer who's teaching the AI to have the knowledge and things like that. But then I also wondered, when I read this person's job description, aren't you essentially teaching AI to take jobs in the future? Like it just reminds me of all the things we talk about with product management. Like, you're just pushing your problems down the funnel. Like, you know, congratulations, you did this at this point in the funnel. Now customer support's going to get more calls because you're pushing your garbage down the funnel.
Well, that'll be automated as well, though, right? So
to me, I keep asking, what's the real end game? Like, is the real end game feudalism? Like, I don't get it. What is the end game? You know, what are Jason's kids going to do for jobs when they get older? We don't know. We don't know what jobs are going to exist. My dogs will be fine. But, you know, Jason's got human kids. What are they going to do? And this has been weighing on my mind, just for other people. You know, I have a friend who just had a baby, and I'm thinking, what job is that baby going to do? Now, you might think, Deb, that's a bit early. But, you know, I'm that kind of long-term planning person who's worried about that now. I don't have an answer, Jason. I just have hot takes. Help me here.
Well, you know, I don't have an answer either. And also, we're going to be running out of time soon. But I guess there's the fire. That's good fire. Anyone watching on video, you can see the fire. Debbie's caught fire already. The hotness of her take. But I think it's a really valid question, and something that, you know, I don't even know what the solution is myself. You know, like, you look at it and you go, well, you know, some people are talking about legislation, you know, in the EU and stuff. There's talk about model decay, meaning that all this stuff's going to kind of collapse because the LLMs are going to start training on their own data because there's no more new data to collect. And I'm kind of suspicious that, well, that these models and these systems are amazing, right? Like, they're absolutely amazing. They do things that even a couple of years ago, I couldn't imagine. And working in AI startups a few years before that, I'd have torn my face off to be able to do some of the things that these things can do now, like obviously in service of an actual customer goal. But I'm also suspicious that they're not going to be quite as good as, or quite as all-encompassing as people think that they are, that the hype is going to die down, and that people are going to start to realize that there are limits, or that there are, you know, either technical or ethical limits. Obviously, some people are bad at ethical, but, you know, I think there'll be enough people out there to try at least. But God knows if it's actually going to end up like that, or if in, you know, 16 years' time, we're all going to be just, you know, being melted down into paste for the Matrix. I guess we'll find out if we last that long. There you go. There's more tears. You've got, I tell you what, your kind of overlay game is exceptional. I'm going to need to talk to you about that after this so we can work out how I can start to add some of this to my game. But in our last minute of hot takes, I do have to ask. I mean, obviously, you've been on the podcast before. People can go and listen to that.
I loved it.
There you go. See, I like to get out there and talk to people. But if people want to come and talk to you off the back of this, if they didn't hear your last one, where can they find you and come and do that?
Yeah, I mean, I am so tired of sending people into algorithms. Find my LinkedIn, find my YouTube. That's it. Then it's an algorithm. And you go, why do I not hear from this person? Hey, everybody, if you're looking for me, just go direct. My website is deltacx.com. And from there, it's going to ask you, are you trying to be a member of my community? Are you looking to buy my book? Or are you thinking about hiring me? And press one of those. And, you know, and then it'll take you to where you really want to go. And I'm always happy to have free calls with people who have questions, concerns. I get a lot of emails from people who say, oh, my God, I read your book and we really need to fix so many things in our company that center around CX and UX. What do we do next? And I don't charge for that call. I'm just trying to help people out and see if there's a direction we can go in where maybe they throw money at me later. But for now, let's try to, you know, get you some sea legs. So please just find me out through deltacx.com and let's just have that conversation. And I'm happy to talk about anything people want to talk about. And as long as you're open to change, I'm probably a good person to talk to. The people who call me up, I had one after I think your podcast, I had one who called me up like to tell me how wrong I was about everything and how once you have an idea.
Sorry about that. I was drunk.
No, it wasn't you. You're lovely. it was unnamed person who I told you who it was. And it was this person tried to convince me that good research is finding 10 people who like the sound of your idea.
Well, look.
Good news.
That-
AI can do that.
Well, these days we can just interview synthetic people through the AI as well, right? So that's going to make it even quicker.
Sure, well, that's right. Have AI write the questions, ask the questions, and pretend to be the participants. And we, you know, let's go catch a lemonade.
There you go. Well, as long as the AI is also buying the resulting solutions, then the whole snake will continue to eat itself. Well, on that bombshell, Debbie, thanks very much for coming, and thank you for your hot take.
Thank you, Jason. See you later.